On this week's episode, I talk about my problem with the latest regeneration. It's going to take a lot of getting used to. I mean, the doctor's a northerner.
I talk about Dirk gently and try to make some kind of sense.
And Gareth talks about Black Mirror.
No, Charlie. Video game characters aren't fucking real.
Stay tuned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, geekettes, broccoli people, and holistic motherfuckers. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast.
Geekettes, it's just geeks now. It's not politically correct.
Fuck off.
Geeks. Nerds.
There may be a bloke out there who refers to himself as a geekette. All right?
Broccoli lovers.
Bronies. Broccoli lovers. Bronies. Oh, fuck no. Don't upset. Do not upset the bronies, all right? We'll get 100 fucking listens, and all of them will be like, kind of just to wind us up. Anyway, it's our first podcast of the year with all three of us together.
Hey.
Hello.
Well done, Keith.
Yeah, Keith.
You joined us.
Keith didn't realise we did a New Year's Day podcast.
It's because I wasn't invited, you bastards.
We did invite you. You went, I can't come.
Oh, was it New Year's Eve?
It wasn't New Year's Eve. We recorded
New Year's. No, I remember. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, this podcast will be talking about Doctor Who briefly, Keith, briefly, Dirk gently, and Black Mirror.
Okay.
So, let's get on with the show. So, Doctor Who. You watched Doctor Who and...
I've watched it a couple of times.
You watched it a couple of times. I've watched it a couple of times too.
Because the first time I watched it through, you know, it's Christmas Day and there's, you know, having to get up and make sure the turkey's fine and all that kind of stuff in between. Mm. So I watched it again a couple of days later. I think a bit like the 10th season, I just felt a bit let down by it. I didn't think it was as epic as it should be. It wasn't, to me, a final episode. And I think that's been the problem throughout most of the Capaldi era, that they haven't had these big epic episodes that we got so used to in the sort of Matt Smith and Tennant era. Okay. And it just felt it was all right, and I liked the bit at the end and the nod to the First World War Christmas thing, and I thought that was quite a nice touch. And I really liked David Bradley's first Doctor, but and I love the fact they keep playing on the 60s bit, you know, where the bit about smacking on the sort of the whole 60s sensibilities and stuff.
Yeah.
And I loved that. That I really did like. But as a final episode, it was a bit thing. But I think the thing that really got to me was those final moments. The regeneration was quite, you know, it didn't bother me when she went, you know, brilliant. That didn't bother me.
That bothered the crap out of me.
But it was the bit where she fell out of the TARDIS and they made a point of the TARDIS disappearing. I thought, hang on, is this going to be Doctor Who without this TARDIS? Because it made sense, that whole advert of her discovering the key when they did the announcement to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And she had to find the TARDIS. Are we going to go 5-6 episodes without her being in the TARDIS, just stuck on Earth? Because that's going to be lame.
Yes.
Do you remember last time when Capaldi took over? And he took, 5-6 episodes to find himself?
He took an entire fucking season
to find himself.
And we all moaned about that. Yeah. So if it's going to be her immediately finding herself, but then she's finding the fucking TARDIS instead, they've just followed the same shit, haven't they?
Really? I
think it's worse than that.
I know you've got your issues with her, and you...
Are not with her. My issues are with Chris Chibnall.
Yeah, I know you've got your issues with Chris Chibnall. I think she can work.
I think she can, but I don't think Chris Chibnall can make her work. I think what's going to happen is it's going to be an almighty failure, and then they're going to be blaming toxic masculinity, all this shit, rather than Chris Chibnall being a shit writer.
What scares me is she's going to fall on a beach with some suspicious-looking cliffs, and, you know, there's going to be a dodgy-looking David Tennant lookalike copper turning up.
Yeah,
and it's going to be an entire season about who done it.
Yeah, yeah, that's my worry too.
It's going to be like Broadchurch 4 with the Doctor.
See, this is the weird one, because I was talking to Nigel about this when it came to the Doctor Who episode. Know the guy in the crater that was pointing the gun at?
Yes.
He's Toby Whitehouse. Yeah, he's one of the writers on it.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. he's the guy I wanted to replace Moffat, because he did like Being Human and other things, and he's got more of a sci-fi background than Chibnall has. I know Chibnall did the first two series of Torchwood, but the first series and the second series were radically fucking different, and they didn't work.
The second series was better, and the second series that had two depends what time you watch the episode, because they had they did with that second series they did two cuts, didn't they? They had the kiddies cut that was played out at like whatever time it was on BBC Two, then they had the late night one which had, you know, the gay aliens. I don't know if he's doing away with the TARDIS. I've said all along I quite like the idea of this serialized approach. I think that's interesting.
For me, I would have liked three, four part episodes which were serialized.
Yeah, that could work.
Because that's how I had Doctor Who as a kid.
Yeah, no, that could work. So. I mean, but serialized works. I mean, it's the one thing I will give Star Trek Discovery. I quite like the serialized flow through it. That I quite like because it makes
like
it different.
A river of diarrhea.
Yeah, but like, look, we all know our issues over. We all know our issues over this Star Trek Discovery. I'm not going into it, but I'm being complimentary. If that's the one thing I liked about it, and it's the one thing I'm hoping that
one
might
thing
work
that
with Doctor
you should
Who.
Like about Star Trek Discovery is it had great production value.
That's amazing production values, but then it is one of the most expensive things ever put on TV. So you would expect it to have amazing production values. You know, you look at something like The Crown or what's it else? What was that the other thing that they cancelled? The what was the thing about hip-hop?
Oh, I have no idea. Straight Outta Compton?
No, it was about the... It was quite good, actually. It was genuinely quite good, and the music was good. No, it was on it's Netflix's thing.
Oh,
but
okay.
It had a recorded budget of like $100 million. You go... Where the fuck did that go? Because you're looking at it, you're thinking, where did it go? And apparently it was in making everything look like 70s, you know, the Bronx, and the same with The Crown. But you look at Star Trek Discovery and you go, okay, I know why it's costing that amount of money to make an episode, you know. But with Doctor Who, I don't know, that whole ending with the TARDIS disappearing was rather ominous to me.
I think we covered that, didn't we? But the TARDIS fucks off at the end, basically. But, just like spits her out for all intents purposes.
I have to say, I loved David Bradley's first Doctor. That really worked.
Yeah.
And it worked well.
I'd like him to come back as the first Doctor a couple more times, actually.
I would. I would love some more interaction. Because I just love the bit where he comes out and he goes, any more language out of that young lady, we'll get a smack bottom. I fell about laughing. That was brilliant.
See, I like the brandy thing where he turns around and goes, oh, look, someone's had a glass of this. Because it's been in the TARDIS for like 1,000 years. You tart, and he's like, kind of, and then when he goes back in time, he pours the guy a glass and goes, oh, that's where it went. I like that little touch.
Yeah. But there were some neat touches in it. There were some nice things to like. I like the classic TARDIS. I knew Clara was coming back. I just knew it.
Oh, she had to come back for that last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I knew Moffat wouldn't resist doing that because he did it with Amy.
Yeah.
So I knew that I was just like waiting for her to turn up. So when they all turn up and they're doing that hugging thing at the end, I was like, come on, here's Clara, you know, and then boom, there she was on cue. So that was quite neat. But I don't know, I think Capaldi deserved more. I rewatched those two final episodes. I know of the last season of 10, and I still think they feel a bit too. They were really downbeat.
Okay.
And I think the one thing about Doctor Who is escapism. You know, we get the darkness in Doctor Who, but dark doesn't necessarily have to be downbeat. And those episodes were really downbeat.
Mm.
And there was less of that in this episode, but it was still a bit downtrodden. Do you know what I mean? You can go dark, you can be thingy, but I know I always make this comment, and you know it could do with a dose of Prozac, but there's a difference between being downbeat and depressing and dark. And I just felt that Doctor Who, especially in the Capaldi era, got a bit downbeat. Okay. So if there was one thing I hope to see, is it to be fun again.
What about his final speech?
Yes, I liked his final speech.
His final speech was good.
His final speech was good.
I like the thing that include the don't eat pears, which was in the Family of Blood, which was cut from the Family of Blood. No, he leaves the instructions to Martha.
Yeah.
If you watch it, you can watch the whole set of instructions on YouTube. And one of them is like, it's like number six, whatever I do, don't let me eat a pear. They're disgusting. And he went through that. And that's what that reference
I just thought
was
that from. Was a normal wacky comment from the doctor
was,
being very doctor-esque.
That was something that wasn't covered, but was covered in
The thing about the one thing I liked about that finals episode, his hair was bonkers. That's what it should have been all the way through. Because the doctors always did have cut. Yeah, Matt Smith's hair was a bit bonkers, and I like that about it. It might be that they're just, you know, going to explode the TARDIS, and when the TARDIS does come back, it's going to have a new set, and it's just a refresh, because they did that, you know, between Tennant's regeneration and Matt Smith's.
Oh, you mean Russell T. Davis? What the?
Yes. So that might be all it is, but I so hope it is. If we go one or two episodes with her finding the TARDIS, right, I can live with that. If we go an entire fucking season of her being stuck on Earth on a beach with some suspicious-looking cliffs somewhere, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah, my feeling is Bradley Walsh is going to be playing the David Tennant character from Broadchurch.
Yes. He's just going to turn up in that same fucking trench coat that he had in Law & Order UK. It's just going to be, I got transferred from London.
Yeah. Oh, don't. My money says that he's going to make him out to be the bad guy. Inside the group.
That's what the rumour is, yeah.
I don't want that to be the case.
Because I think I want Bradley Walsh to be a good guy, because he's quite good.
He is. He's an entertaining and very charismatic person to watch, because, oh my God.
He is actually quite a good actor. He was really good in Law & Order UK.
Okay, all right, enough of this.
What I'd like to see happen with this, I've forgotten her name.
Jodie Whittaker.
Jodie.
Dr. 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
13. I'd like for her to take it in the same direction as Matt Smith, because I started watching again when it was Matt Smith. That was when I joined.
Yeah.
And it was fun, light entertainment. And that's how I feel it should be.
What we'll have to do is the three of us will have to get together in a room sometime, and we'll have to go through Doctor Who by the era, so we have a nice big long chat.
You're absolutely on the money there, though, Nigel. You're right. So I just wanted to think, he's right. You're right about Matt Smith. He was fun, but he was also dark at times. He did some really dark speeches, but he was fun.
Yeah, he was.
And it was fun, and it was light, and it was. Yeah, don't get me wrong. There's issues with the Matt Smith era. The whole seventh season to me was a pile of crap.
Oh, just like to point out that Chris Chibnall wrote two big episodes in that season.
Yes, I know, the ones that you don't like. So yes, I know. But yes, I think
I would like
to do, like, yeah, go through.
I think we all need to sit down and just have like a big round table and have a long chat over the series of Doctor Who. Maybe we should do some other series too, like get my brothers around to do a round table on the Marvel Netflix series too. Anyway, on that note, are any of you into holistic sciences?
I have seen the entire first series of Dirk Gently, and I have watched the first episode and a half of the second series. There was so much on when it was airing on BBC America that I thought, screw it, I'll wait till it comes out on Netflix and binge it when there's nothing else on. Because it's one of those things you have to kind of just watch.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it has been cancelled in America. But I enjoyed the first series, and it was another one of those recommendations from you, go watch this. And it was significantly different to the UK TV version of it.
With Stephen Mangan.
Yeah.
Langan.
Yeah, who played quite good Dirk Gently.
He did. The thing is that the guy who plays him, I can't remember his name, Samuel Barnett, he'd make a good Doctor Who.
Yes, he would.
He'd make a really good Doctor Who. That might be something else I want to do, actually, is a list of people I think should play fucking Doctor Who. I'll go through the entire fucking spectrum everywhere.
Ever since that guy, what's his face, who was in Death in Paradise, was in the running for that.
Oh, that's Marshall.
Yeah. I've just think that guy would be a good Doctor.
He would be a good Doctor.
I think he would.
Chris Marshall, isn't it, his name, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think that's right.
Okay. But he would make a great Doctor Who.
Yeah, he would.
I think even if he played exactly the same character as what he did in Death in Paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it worked.
It worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could see him doing it.
It's one of those things. You've got Chris Marshall and you've got Samuel Barnett, it's another one who plays it. And there's also another guy who was in Black Sails who played, I can't remember his name now, the one that Captain Jack Sparrow is based off of. He'd make a good Doctor Who, because there's a bit in there where he's taking control of the ship and he tells them to do something really strange. Yeah, and then he explains it to them, what he's doing. And they all go, ah, oh, fucking get you. And he does it in such a way that he would make a good Doctor Who. Because he has that kind of, you know, that thing. But anyway, back to Dirk Gently. The second series, I watched it. It went balls deep into crazy straight off, where before it kind of warmed up into crazy.
No, it was right from the offset. So fucking, it was like, what the fuck is going on?
It had what can be described as two heterosexual actors kissing, looking quite awkward. I always love it, because when you know when two heterosexual actors kiss, it's like watching two fish being banged together. There's no passion. There's no real passion in it. It's like, just looking at each other, just fucking do it, all right? Let's get everything done with. You haven't eaten fucking garlic. Yeah. They've got that look on their face. Anyway, it starts off in this weird magical kingdom. What is it, Wendigo? Or not Wendigo. Windermere or something like that. Where it seems to be very childlike, because there's like a train floating in the air and there's a weird moon and everything. And the reason I like Dirk Gently is I can't fucking tell it where it's going at all.
Yeah. I mean, the thing was, the very first episode, it didn't start off where the last series ended. It's like, why is Dirk where Dirk is? What's fucking going on there? Yeah. Why is they on the run? What's happened to what's his face? What the fuck?
Yeah. So you went through the whole thing, and it was a story of one of the. Oh God, I'm going to spoil it if I tell you.
Go on.
What it is they've got this organisation called Blackwing, and in there they keep all the weird people. So you've got Dirk Gently, who somehow is connected to the universe to the point that the universe kind of points things out and drags him towards them. Yeah, you've got Bart, who she is what they refer to as a holistic assassin. Yeah, she could fire a machine gun into a crowd of random people, only killing seven of them, and it just happened to be she hit seven murderers. She's that kind of person. And then you've got a shapeshifter in there, who occupies shape so much that she sometimes forgets that she's not the chair or the object that she's pretending to be. And then you've got this. You've got the three vampires, the Rowdy Three. I'm sure it's Rowdy Three, was not Rowdy Four.
They are vampires, but not in the true sense.
They feed off fear. Yeah. They're emotional vampires that feed off fear. And then you've got this guy they refer to as Project Moloch, who's supposed to be the powerful one, who's like a reality bender. Bender. Oh, I'm so fucking childish.
Child.
You go through this series and you find out that there's a house within a house, yeah? So they go to this house and something happened in it where there's another dimension that laid over this house. So you go upstairs and you find this slide and you slide down the slide and you're in another fucking house, which has got some hideous creature in it. And then you've got Alan Took in it as Priest, who is this fucking insane government agent who just wants to kill everything he can. And he does it really, really well. And he catches Bart at the end, but it looks like she's fucking like hit him with a chainsaw right down the centre of his face, which I thought was really quite cool. And then you've got Bart's friend from the first series, remember if his name's Kent or Kent. And they've got him locked up. And for some reason, they're keeping him in a cab with a dog, which is frustrating the fuck out of him. So he's in this top secret agency thing. And it's like kind of, oh, you hung around with someone and you didn't get killed. And because you didn't get killed, there must be something to you. How'd you do it? And it's like, just normal like that. And he's getting really fucked up because he's on a drip tied to a car for like 6 months, which I found quite funny. But it's quite funny the way it evolves, because they find this boat in a field that has just dropped out in the middle of nowhere.
That's where I got to. The boat just dropped.
It just appeared out in the middle of nowhere and no one had any fucking idea where it came from. And then you've got this house where two people went missing. And they had a child, and then it turns out that it was more than one child. And as soon as he said more than one child, I went, ah, I know who the reality bender is. It's the guy, Project Moloch, in the thingy. And it's just mad. So fucking difficult to translate how fucked up and weird this is.
It is very weird.
But I put my finger on the reason I like it because I can't predict where it's fucking going.
Yeah.
I can only get the only prediction I get is when I'm 2/3 into it, and then I can say, ah, now I know it's this guy. Yeah. And I think I twigged just before Dirk gently explained. As soon as you pull down, there's a bit where he sees an image where there's two parents and two children. And as soon as you pulled that down and described that reality was being distorted, I went, fuck it, I know it is. But it's a really, really good series. And you've got the sheriff in there called Sherlock Hobbs, who's a lovely guy. And he's supposed to arrest them, but he's too nice to arrest them. Which I found quite amusing. It's like, it's like kind of someone's parked their car illegally. It's like, I should really tow your car, but if I tow your car, you'd probably move it by the time I get it. But, you know, don't worry about it. It's all fine. And it was really, I really enjoyed it. And unfortunately, Keith told me it's ended.
That's what I've read. It's been cancelled, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the end.
Netflix might pick it up.
Could potentially pick this up as its own.
Yeah,
I think it depends on their viewing figures. I mean, you know, these days when something gets cancelled, that doesn't necessarily mean the end. Even when Netflix cancels something, it doesn't necessarily mean the end, because then you get a load of fans saying bring it back, and that's what Netflix does. So it's not all doom and gloom yet.
Yeah, but it was a really good thing, and it is so hard to fucking describe, because it is this. It only makes sense viewing it from the last episode back at all the other episodes. That's the
yes,
greatness
I know
of
what
it,
you mean.
And it's like I can't describe it. It's like looking at
you have to watch it twice.
Yeah, I don't
you
think
have
you have
to watch it.
I don't think you have to watch it twice.
No, because I watched the first series twice, and then the first episode made so much more sense. Knowing what I did by the end of it, so it was like watching something new again. That's what's quite cool about it.
Yeah,
you can watch it twice, and it's a different experience both times, in a good way.
Yeah, but go give Dirk Gently a watch, because it is.
It's on Netflix UK now.
Okay, I may have ruined it. But there's still actually fucking more mysteries in it than what.
Yeah,
I've,
and the first series
away.
We haven't given any real information.
But seriously, give it a watch. The first series is the better series because it was better thought through. There was much more to the first series. The structure was there. This one, the structure isn't there, and the first series builds into crazy, rather than I think you got the first scene. And then it gets to like the third episode before it gets really crazy, where this starts off in Crazy Town.
Well, it's only I think it's the third or fourth episode that you think actually this is supernatural. Mm. You think there's going to be an explanation that comes along where it's not supernatural. Mm. But yeah, and then you're like, no, this is this is definitely going there.
And there's a kid in it they use who looks like they could be Cisco's younger brother. You'll watch it and you'll understand when you get towards the end. And you go, my God, you could cast him as Cisco's younger brother from The Flash. But that was good. And then I also watched Black Mirror too. And this is the weird thing, is everyone's going on about how great Black Mirror was. I wasn't very impressed by Black Mirror. I kind of was, how can I put it, felt that it just retrod old ground a lot. And I think Charlie Brooker thinks video game characters are real. I've come to the conclusion that he thinks that they are real people living real existences. Yeah?
Why?
Why? The Star Trek episode, the very first one, the Callister.
That's the one I liked.
Yeah? I watched the Callister one. It irritated the fuck out of me. First things first, memory details and anything like that, personality details, are what's referred to as environmental data, and it can't be copied across.
In DNA, okay. The one thing I will say about that first episode was getting their DNA means you don't necessarily copy personality, memory, and everything else. Yeah, you're absolutely bang on that. But as an episode of Black Mirror, it was curious in the fact that, one, it had quite a happy ending, and quite a satisfactory ending. You know, a lot of the time in Black Mirrors, they're not good ending, or they're not happy endings, whereas Callister was quite a good ending.
Yeah.
It was a satisfactory ending. Does that make sense?
I was watching it, and it was like kind of... do you remember the very, very, very last episode of B5?
Yeah.
Where these people, were, they recreated the crew of the
and
station.
And Gary Baldy hacked the
system. Yeah, because they made him software for all intents and purposes, These people are software. They need to realise that they're software, and they can expand outside those bounds.
Well, she did to an extent realise that. She, lady started doing hacking and realised that she could do that from in there. But yeah, look, as an episode of Black Mirror, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think Black Mirror on Netflix is anywhere near as good as the original Channel 4 ones, but that's because Channel 4 do risky shit. And as much as people bang on about Netflix being quite risky, it isn't, actually. You only have to watch an episode of The Grand Tour on Amazon to realise how PC Netflix is and how un-PC Amazon is.
Yeah.
Especially last week's episode. But I did quite like the canister episode, but I think that's because I'm a big sop and I quite like the fact that it had a happy ending. And I loved Jesse's little cameo at the end.
Yeah,
that was quite funny.
It's just, I kind of got annoyed with it. One, it's like kind of he leaves his computer on all day.
Yeah, I know. There's so
doesn't drop into fucking power saving mode when he's not fucking using it. I'm sorry, I don't want to sound rude or anything. But it comes back to that. I think Charlie Brooker thinks fucking computer characters are real.
I see your point.
Then we had the Archangel one.
I haven't seen
which
one.
Is it literally not the one where it's like the complete history of you from the end of the first series of Black Mirror, where the guy's got his memories and he can recall the memories and that. It's a similar. They chip this girl as a baby because as a toddler because she goes missing, and her mum can now see everything that she's doing, and it kind of monitors all the stuff, and she's got a little terminal, and she can do all this thing. And what happened was that they were blocking out any kind of acts of like violence or anything from her. And it's like I got the idea and I got the kind of concept, but it's like kind of, I'm sure we went through that with a John Hamm character in the Christmas special where they blocked everyone from him at the end, and they had that the whole thing. And it's like, okay, I get it, but it still feels like we're retreading old ground.
But I think surely by this point we probably are, because there are only so many of these stories that you can really do about modern technology that's really in the public eye. You know, social media, there's only so many you can do on that.
But it just felt like kind of what happens if we do it to a kid instead of an adult, yeah? And it didn't have that kind of... It didn't feel new. It felt like old trend ground. And then after that, yeah, you had the... I thought it was a lovely episode with the two people dating, and they were going through this kind of thing where it's like kind of you get into a relationship and you meet up and it's all predestined and all that. So it's like, how long is your relationship gonna last? 12 hours, yeah? How long is your relationship gonna last? 7 hours. 7 months, sorry. And then you go through like living together and all these sort of things, yeah. And they were running a simulation, and it turns out they were being simulated inside a computer game. And they tried to escape, and it's like kind of 90, like kind of out of so many thousands of times, 97% of the time they tried to escape. So it then turned out that it was a dating app on this person's phone that did it. Again, I think Charlie Brooker thinks fucking video game characters are real.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lovely episode. It was filmed at Payne's Hill Park, and it's beautiful, beautiful fucking setting and everything. And my father-in-law works at Payne's Hill, and he loved it because he thought it was an advert. Then there was the Metalhead episode with the killer dog robots, which was in black and white. I haven't watched that one completely, which I was a bit annoyed at.
The thing with this is, I think you're right. I don't think they can't go over. Charlie Brooker was trying to make a point about modern technology having adverse effects, and he did that with the first two seasons. Okay, Netflix picked it up for the first season. I think they're pushing it with a fourth season. I don't think they'll get away with the fifth.
And we'll see when we get to the fifth series. But can you hear? I'm just describing it to you, and they're repeating.
They are blatantly repeating. I mean, they're repeating themselves again. You know, living within a computer. There's two. That's two slightly different themes, but it's the same theme.
One series, let alone inside the whole.
It is the same. Yeah, thing. And you know, with the Orville doing the social media thing after Black Mirror did it anyway, there's a risk of being overloaded with this kind of stuff.
But it's just the thing always gets me, because it's like, oh, this is so good. It's like, kind of, dude, are you watching the same fucking program I'm watching? Because it is repeating. There is nice, but it's like the whole concept of the show is to show you new things and different ways. And
they keep referring to the digital Twilight Zone. Charlie, just resurrect the Twilight Zone yeah. and write episodes about that.
Yeah,
because then you can really do anything.
Yeah,
I would agree with it. I did like the US canister episode. I did. But I haven't watched most of the third series of Black Mirror. I only watched a few of them.
Because I was going to say, after you got Metalhead, you had... Oh, there was the one where the lady killed... This is another thing. this woman and this bloke, I can't remember the name of the episode, they start off and they're driving together and next thing they kill someone, yeah? Anyway, comes back, it's 20 years later, he meets up with her and he's like, kind of, I've got to tell the family because they can find his body and this, that and the other. I'll make it anonymous. And then she goes, no, and she kills him. But while that's happening, some guy goes outside, gets hit by an automatic pizza delivery thing. And this woman is going to people, this insurance person is going to people, and she's recalling their memories, yeah, from their heads to see what happened. Yeah. So she does it with this woman and she finds out that she goes to kill her. So she kills the woman, yeah? And then she checks. She puts a chip in her head and checks to see, and she finds out she told her husband. So she goes and kills the husband. They've got a kid, yeah? She then kills the kid, yeah? All right, so she kills the kid, blah, blah, blah. Turns out the kid was blind, so it didn't fucking matter. What did matter is that she bought him a pet hamster. And they go and chip the pet hamster to check to see if the pet hamster saw anything at the end. That was the twist. When I saw that, I went, oh, fuck me. Oh, the fucking hamster's the witness. Put it on the fucking... Guys, take the stand, hamster man. Yeah?
Hamster's coming up. Do you solemnly swear?
Do you swear on this nut?
Could you stop running on that wheel, please?
Yeah, and it was... And I watched that and it was just like kind of, oh shit. And then they had the last one, which was like a mini anthology inside an anthology. And it was, they called it, I think it was the Black Museum. And this one was like kind of, this guy has these three stories. This guy called Roland who runs the museum and he's got like all these bits left over from these stories. So these things that he's participated in. One of them was, he figured out how to take the personality out of a dead person and inject it into your head so you've got them there. So they're sitting there like a backseat driver telling you to do all this shite. Okay? So the digital personality gets recreated in someone's head. Mm. Kind of seen that one, haven't we?
Yeah.
So you've got that one. And then you've got... you had that one, and then there was another one which I can't fucking remember. Mustn't have been good. And then you had the one about the convict where he copies his digital personality and he puts him in like a holographic cell. And it allows people to like re-execute him, and then it copies his personality at the point of it being that. And I watched that, and I was like, I don't want to sound rude or anything, yeah. I don't think you understand personalities and how your brain works. It's fucking complicated, yeah. And if you could do it as an algorithm, it's just an image.
But this was the whole reason, Charlie Brooker. But I'm pissed off at Brooker as well because we didn't get a screen wipe this year. A New Year's wipe because he was too busy with Black Mirror, and if this is what he's produced, it's like, what? I quite like your wipe program.
It's see, my problem is that the episodes are good. They're not great. They're good, but for me, it's the rehashing of old things. Yeah, and I'm a bit worried that the next series is literally just going to start getting the same thing again. And he definitely thinks fucking video game characters are real.
No, I see your point now. I understand where you're going with that.
Yeah. And it knocked me because everyone's going, oh, this is really good, this is really good. It's like kind of, I've seen this shit before. I was expecting something new. Yeah, that's why I watched it, because I wanted to see something new. Because it's not, I don't want to sound rude or anything. It's not exceptional.
No, sound rude, Gareth. We're on a podcast. Yeah. You can do that.
It's not. I don't find it exceptional. Seriously,
no, I know what you mean.
Just like the episodes of Outer Limits that were more fucking exceptional. One of the best ones featured Bruce Boxleitner. Yeah, and it was the one where he is he's running as a presidential candidate. Yeah,
I know the one.
And he's on a plane and he's flying through a storm, and all of a sudden this woman appears and time stopped. And she says to him, he goes, "Look, I'm here from the future. I need to fix the future, because what happens is a weak leader gets in and he gets replaced by a tyrant, which then ruins the world. Yeah, and I need to stop that person from getting in, and you've got to run, and I've got to save your life. Yeah, and it's like kind of the plane's going to get struck by lightning, and it's going to explode in midair, and you're going to die. And he's like, shit, fuck, really? He went, yeah. If you jump out of the plane, I can save your life. Yeah. I can slow you down and have you land on the ground, and you can walk away from this thing, and then you can become president and everything will be fine. And he's like, really? Yeah. Anyway, things occur and all these things start pointing towards the plane blowing up, being completely fucking inevitable and nothing he can do. A woman turns up and goes, now's the time. He jumps out the plane. Right? Jumps out the plane, fucking lands on the ground. The time traveler shows up, turns around and went, didn't quite tell you the entire truth. When I was talking about a tyrant, I meant you. You're the tyrant. You're going to be the bad president that fucks everything up for everyone. And here's the twist. You're still falling out of the plane. And then it cuts to him falling out of the plane and he dies. And it's brilliant. And it's absolutely fucking brilliant. And it's one of those ones, it kind of, even now, it sends a little bit of a shiver down my fucking spine. And I was telling that one to my brother. He goes, oh, that was a fucking awesome one.
Yeah, no, it was. I know the one you're talking about. I've seen it.
And the one where Wesley Crusher kills the world.
There was quite a few. And the Twilight Zone. There was, I remember a few of those as well.
Yeah.
Seeing as we've got a bit of time, geek news, The X-Files is back.
And it's pissing people off.
Is it pissing people off?
Yep. Have you read any of this,
Nigel? Is Fox Mulder transgender now?
Well, okay, I haven't seen the first episode yet. I've got it on download. Apparently, some of that final episode of the thing was a dream.
Oh, fuck off.
I think, apparently, although I might have read that wrong, but that's what I read. To my, but the more important thing is that, you know her son, Michael?
Kind of.
Yeah, you remember the son that she had supposedly with Mulder?
And then went missing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, she went off with Smoking Man in season 7. She did an episode where she went on a road trip with.
Don't say it's his fucking child.
He used science to impregnate her.
Oh, fuck off.
Yes.
What?
I think that's pretty much what every X-Files fan has just said.
Right, what? Hang on a second. It's the reason the Smoking Man's always smoking because he's just been finishing shagging.
No, he used science. I don't think he shagged her. I think he used science.
How?
I don't know. We haven't had
a
that
turkey baster.
I'm going
it's
to.
A turkey baster.
He probably knocked
she
her
was
out.
Asleep and he fired a turkey baster.
I'm going to watch the first episode and then I'll get back to you. So, for some of our American listeners, you've probably had this. It's aired on American TV already, but The X-Files is back.
Oh, I've turned
it back in the UK.
I don't know. But I've got the first episode. But I have to say, I know you guys don't watch this, but I highly recommend Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5. It's been bloody brilliant. It's really good.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the thing. It got quite good in Season 4. It genuinely got quite good. And like what you said, they did three serialized things because they went, look, we've got 22 episodes. The network demand that we make this. Everybody, you know, everybody goes on and bangs on about 22 episodes and anything's far too long. So you get all this, you know, shitty episodes. What they decided to do, which I don't think anybody's ever done, is they went, right, we're going to do three distinct stories. They're all going to tie in, but they're going to be three distinct bits. And that's exactly what they did. And it really fucking worked. And it was really good. So you had the whole Ghost Rider bit, then you had this other bit, and then you had this bit in this digital world kind of thing.
It was Charlie Brooker
the framework.
There pretending that
no, but this
were
was quite good. They were quite, and there's ramifications from that. And then we've gone into this next series where they're in space, but it's really good. It genuinely is good. I can't recommend it enough at the moment. I think you'd quite like it now. It's not what it was at all.
Yeah. Okay, on another note, did you see that Mark Hamill had to walk back a lot of his comments because I think they went, Mark, you are in the next film. But you do remember that now, don't you? And he went, oh, yeah.
Now,
really?
Talking of the... I know you didn't really want to touch on Star Wars, but...
Yeah, we don't want to touch on Star Wars.
I don't want to touch on Star Wars too much, but I want to say something. I saw Blade Runner 2049 the other day. Right?
Yeah.
I thought... I liked Blade Runner, so this was quite good. But you have to like...
I didn't like Blade Runner because it made me
then
sad.
Then you really won't like this. But the Rachel character, remember the one that he falls for in the original Blade Runner?
The Sean Young... Yeah.
She has a cameo in this.
Yeah.
And she's fucking perfect. Not dodgy Leia CGI of Rogue One. She is, you would think she it was a real actress. I mean, you cannot tell. You're like, Are they somehow cutting a scene?
Well, I think from I think the difference is one's from Industrial Light Magic and the other one's from Weta Digital. Weta Digital is better than fucking Industrial Light Magic.
Seriously, initially, I thought what they'd done is they'd taken a deleted scene from the original one and cleaned it up and cut her out and pasted her into this.
Hmm.
Because it was only when I saw a video on Facebook that I realised, and they took a year to make a two-minute scene. A year. to do this, but it's perfect. And I'm just wondering, well, if they can do that, can they not do that with Leia in Star Wars to give her a send-off towards the beginning of the next
episode? Yeah, but they're not going to do it like that. They're going to do it. It's going to be a case of, it's going to be her digitally, and he's like, kind of, oh, well, I'm off to say, sort some other children out, puts her umbrella up and flies off into the sky.
it was amazing. I mean, if you don't have to like 2049, but you have to be seriously impressed with that scene.
I'll watch
it. It's seriously impressive.
It's one of the things I watch. It's like Brazil. Have you watched Brazil?
No, but I know what you're...
If you watch Brazil, Brazil's a great, really good story, but it's one of those ones, along with The Green Mile, that you only ever really watch fucking once. Because you want to keep happy.
2049 is a bit like that. He doesn't turn up. Deckard doesn't turn up for like the first hour and a half of the entire damn thing. And then he's in it at the end.
I've been told that Jared Leto is a bit crap.
Yeah, I didn't quite get the whole point of him. At all, really. He's the weak point in it. The bird that plays Jenny and... evil Mrs. President in House of Cards, she's quite good in it. What's in his face, he is quite good in it. But again, they don't really say if Deckard is a replicant or not, and depending on what version of Blade Runner you watch, because there's been two director's cuts,
he's a fucking replicant.
One of them is a human.
No, he's a replicant,
and in this they indicate that he's a human.
No, he's a replicant, because Ridley Scott, who directed that, turned around and said,
no,
doesn't matter what Harrison Ford says, he's a fucking replicant.
No, Ridley Scott recently said, no, it was Harrison Ford that said he thought...
No, he didn't. It was, he goes, I'm not. And then Ridley Scott was like, yes, you fucking are.
Mm-hmm. In this one, again, it implies that he could be human. So it's kind of left off. It's quite good. It's very much in the vein of the first one. The music is very much similar. James, the guy that played Amidama, who's in the first...
James Edward Olmos.
Yeah, he gets a cameo in this as well.
Okay.
So there's lots of bits. See, really, I would suggest that if you're going to watch this, watch the first one again, because there's loads of little nods.
Okay. It's really long, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's very well done.
All right. I rewatched Dunkirk recently at home. I had to fucking turn the sound bar on and everything to get the full experience. I still get PTSD from watching that film. Is that good? It's the time frame is jarring. Have you seen Dunkirk, Nige?
Nope.
Have you seen Dunkirk?
Yes. We did an entire podcast on it.
I forgot where we
said that the music was as important as anything in the film. The music is almost like a character.
I watched it with my wife, and the time, watching it a second time, he does point out the fucking time schism that you get.
He does, but it's not obvious the first time you're watching it.
It's not obvious the first time I watch it. And you watch it the second time round, and it's still the music, that fucking Hans Zimmer when he fucking does the ticking.
Yeah.
The ticking clock. It's like, fuck, I feel like I'm on that fucking beach and I want to get off. Did a really good job, and I can't. I watched it, and it's weird because it's not a conventional story, and it's still fucking fabulous.
I had criticism of it, but not from the film based. It was more from the historical base of it, but that's another matter.
Yeah, but he couldn't fucking destroy Dunkirk in order to fucking do that.
I'm not saying that. I'm not taking away from the fact that it was a fantastic film. It was a very well done film.
Yeah.
It was just a bit inaccurate.
Fair enough.
But yeah. And I don't think I knew that something bugging me, because I had another piece of geek news, and I know the minute we cut off that I'm going to remember it.
Do you want to quickly talk about the fucking three horrendous security flaws that have come out recently? In regards to, you had the HP security flaw with the audio driver recording all your keystrokes.
Yes.
And then we got Spectre, and what was the other one?
Office 365 does that as well.
Of course it does. It's a good word.
Yes, and it's doing that. I discovered that recently.
What part of Office 365 is
everything doing? You type into Word, visually, all written, is recorded on the cloud. If you turn on their, what do they call it, intelligent services or something, it's an option that's just been released.
I thought that was fucking backing it up to the cloud for all intents and purposes. No.
Everything you type into Word is being recorded.
Okay.
It's scary.
Well, that's all the fucking the audio. The one that, to be honest, that's a bit fucking logical.
These
I'll be frank
chip
with you.
Things are interesting because they are saying, although this is all the techies, because none of the company, this is, by the way, speculation by people in the know, that consoles that could have played some of these games that really tested them, like, you know, as in some of the games that will work on a PS4, might no longer work after the update. Because the issue with these chips, it's going to slow everything down. And they're not really publicizing, because Apple recently admitted that every one of their devices is affected by this. You benchmark it now, benchmark it when they put that patch out.
I know the Raspberry Pi is fine. That's it.
Every chip.
No, the Raspberry Pi is fine, because it doesn't use ARM, Intel or AMD, I can't remember which one it uses.
Yeah, we see AMD were an issue when our chips are not infected. They are.
Do you know what it was? This was the thing that was. I saw a guy called Tim Paul bring this up like ages ago, and he was saying that they put on a management function for the chip on there. So you had like a set of cores that would was supposed to manage the chip and then report information back to Intel. And the creepy thing was, it could do it when the computer was plugged in but not switched on. And it's like, I'm like, that's bollocks. And it's like, kind of, the management part is part of the whole fucking spectre, and I can't remember what the other one's called.
But the thing, I was reading this the other day, that there are some games out there that really pushed the test the limits of the original PS4. After this update, they might not work properly. You're all right, Nigel, because you came up with some bullshit excuse for your wife to buy a PS4 Pro, didn't you? My disk drive broke.
Well, no, actually, it just kept spitting out discs.
That's because you spread marmalade on a disc and put it in there early when nobody was looking. We all know what you did.
Kids do have sticky fingers.
Yeah. You stick to your stories. Stick to your guts.
All right. So yeah, I found that quite interesting. Did you hear about Donald Trump and the Gorilla Channel? Oh, this was fucking hilarious. Yeah, I just. This is fake news, but it's so funny because people fell for it.
People actually believed it because
it's not, because you look at him and you go, I could see it happening. That's the reason that people believe it.
It's very, very believable.
But people in the news are so keen to have any shit like this, they'll just publish it straight away. The normal people will look at it and go, I can believe it, but I wouldn't put my fucking name to it. So some idiot put out an excerpt from this biography by a guy called something, I think it's Michael Wolff, who had access to the White House during the first iteration of the Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. And they put out this fake article saying that when Trump got there, he was unhappy that they didn't have the Gorilla Channel. So the guy's got some gorilla documentaries, and then they broadcast them to that. And then he was upset because they weren't fighting. Yeah. And then from this broadcast tower on the lawn, which you could have all fucking seen, that was a giveaway. That was a giveaway. The camera said that. Well, they just cut out the fighting to put that on there so you could watch the fighting. And just, oh my god, how could you fall for such shit? Oh, it's just amazing.
Mark Zuckerberg's New Year's resolution is to fix Facebook. Good luck with that.
Facebook fucking ads is the first place he wants to start, because they're shit.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got a friend who's got a website for university placements and stuff in Italy, and he advertises on Facebook, and he puts his adverts through. And I'm not joking. You should see the penetration that he gets. He gets like, he put like 30 quid on one. He got 3,871 people saw it. One like.
It's ridiculous.
One fucking like.
Just to finish this off, though, I would like.
Hang on.
Go on.
For 30 quid.
For 30 quid.
But I used to, but a year ago, it wasn't like that.
2 years ago, it was perfect.
They've broken it. But just to finish off the podcast, because I've got to go and rescue my wife in a sec. I've got a bit of a story for you. This guy won't affect you guys, but if you use iOS devices out there and you've got kids, you need to pay attention to this. Because I'm currently involved in quite a serious argument with Apple and I'm not letting it go. My wife is, she has an iPhone and she is under me on the App Store because she doesn't have a card that the App Store would accept. So we use the family sharing thing. And you know, if you set up somebody on your iTunes account as a family member, you have to approve all purchases.
Yeah.
So if she downloads a free app, it's fine. It just lets her do it. If she downloads an app that costs, you get a little pop-up saying, you know, whoever the family member is would like to purchase this app. Is it okay? And you just click okay, or you say, what the fuck are you doing? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's the whole idea is to give kids iPads and things like that. So my wife, unbeknownst to her, managed to download two apps that were free to download on the App Store.
Yeah.
But immediately sign you up to a 3-day trial and then charging you £44 or £45 a week.
What fucking apps are these?
A week.
What apps are these, firstly?
These ones that make you turn you into a cartoon. So there's quite a lot of these going over Facebook ads at the moment. This is why it's relevant. Because okay. This is where she saw them. And she didn't realize that they cost, because they say free to download. And she could just download, so she assumed it's free. It didn't work, so she just deleted it. But what it did in the background was go, right, you're on a 3-day a 3-day free trial. If after you do not go into the App Store and cancel it, we will charge you £45 a week. So what that's effectively done, right, is bypass the whole approval thing that Apple's got in place.
Yeah.
Because what it did was I got an email and it said, after 3 days, it's going to be charged to this card. And it said, dear Natapat, which is my wife, and me. So she got the email and I got the email. Mm-hmm. And it says, we're going to charge you. And it's on her account. So I had to go into her iTunes account and cancel the subscription. Or it would have charged my card £45. Now, if I was on holiday or, you know, I was busy at work and my kids did that, and I didn't see that email in 3 days, I would have got charged £45. And that would have completely bypassed the whole thing that Apple said. And guess what? It's illegal. Because Apple, as the retailer, have to offer this. Any purchase that goes on your charge to your card, you have to approve.
Mm.
Didn't approve this.
Okay.
Well, it sounds the whole thing like a scam.
Yes, it is a scam. It's absolutely a scam. Right, but it's on the UK App Store because it linked through to an app that's on the UK App Store. Even though the ad, because Gareth pointed out, I get ads on Facebook because that breach the UK things, but they probably don't breach the Thai rules. Therefore, because the Facebook thinks I'm living in Thailand more, it starts showing me these kind of ads. But it was on the UK App Store, and it bypassed the thing. Apple are trying to wheedle out of it, but they can't because I found small print in their thing where they say, and by UK law, if as the retailer you have to approve everything that's charged to your card. I didn't approve this. I was never given a prompt.
It's weird because I signed up for something called it's called Blinklist. And the idea is it gives you like books and stuff, and instead of making you read the entire book, it just they go through read the chapters and they strim out all the relevant data. And then they make it either an audio thing that you can listen to while you're doing stuff or a little passage thing you can speed read through. And that was subscription-based. But for me, it turned out this is subscription-based. The moment you download it, pops up with a big thing saying, this is a subscription. If you want to cancel it, you have to go to the subscription
section. I went and checked the app on the store. All right. Yeah. So what I did was I then went round to my sister's house, and my sister's child, 7, has got an iPod Touch.
Yeah.
I did exactly the same thing. Not once does it tell you.
Did you video it?
Yes. Oh, yes.
You can put up on YouTube.
I've basically told Apple that if I don't get a response from them, because I'm meant to be getting a call back from a senior manager in iTunes UK, because I said that, and I said, I basically blagged it. I said, I run a podcast with thousands of listeners, and we've got thousands of listeners on Twitter. I have this video here. I will post this on YouTube in the next week if you don't respond to this, because at the moment you are in breach. This is illegal, and as the retailer, you are liable because you have so much control over your app store that you approve everything on your app store. Ba-bump. So I'm now waiting. The person that I spoke to recently was sufficiently scared enough to say that I was going to get a call back from a senior manager in the iTunes store.
Okay.
So we'll see. This saga will continue.
Now, from my point of view, if you just raised that with anybody in Apple saying that is an issue, and without even trying to scare them into doing anything by blagging that you've got more... Listen, they should have just gone, that really does sound like something we need to look into. It does sound like it is a big accident and possibly a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yep.
We should jump on this without having to be fucking scared into doing something.
That's Nigel, Apple.
The whole thing's been atrocious. I can't stand them.
Yeah, and you're right. The whole thing's been atrocious. I couldn't just call them. I had to schedule them a call, and that took them 2 days to call me. Then she told me, sent me off to this web form and said, just fill this in your feedback. I said, a web form can be ignored. I want to speak to somebody. This is serious. And then she, after arguing with her, the toss over her, with her, and saying, I'm not going to fill this out on a feedback form because this isn't some simple fucking thing. This is a major scam going on. And at 45 quid a month, if there are families out there, that this is going to cost them a lot of money. And getting a fucking refund off you is near and damn impossible. So I said, this is serious, and I want somebody to acknowledge how serious this is and deal with it. I've got video evidence here. I'm not stupid. I work in IT. I know all the options and what's going on. Because initially she said, oh, you have to have ask to approve on. I said, it is on. It's on by default. And anyway, cut long story short, I was being transferred to a manager, then got cut off. Waited half an hour, and nobody called me back. So I then had to fill out this fucking stupid form again. And then wait another 2 fucking days to get a call back. And then again, I had to go through the whole, I'm not filling this damn feedback thing out, put me onto a senior thing. At which point I finally did get through to a manager and went, I've got a video of this. I'm sending you this video. And I emailed him. I said, if I do not get a call from somebody that tells me that this is going to get sorted and acknowledged and, you know, made me feel all warm, fluffy again, this is going on YouTube. I said, and you should know, I run a tech blog and podcast, and I blagged myself a bit, but it worked because it's obviously put the wind sufficiently up. Because when he saw the video, he couldn't fucking argue. I said, nowhere does this say it. I said, okay, you know, there could be argument that the wife can't read English properly. It doesn't say it. It doesn't say it. It is on the small print in the thing. It doesn't ask. It doesn't even ask her to approve it. You just get an email, and an email is not enough. Because it's bypassed the whole... She should not be able to make any purchases of that on my card without my approval. And she did.
It's not her who's making the purchase.
No.
It's the app making a purchase without anybody's knowledge.
Yes.
And that is a scam.
And an email notification isn't enough.
So what I'd say is, Keith, just do it anyway. Let's put together a video. Let's release it. Let's show everyone what is the problem so they can avoid the app.
We might have to do that.
To send to the newspapers, more importantly.
I think we should wrap this up and put a bow on it, and I will report in next week as to where I've got with this.
Okay, all right. So, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
Thank you, and we'll catch you in our next podcast.
See ya.
Bye.
For downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/monkeynutpunch.